Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. I want to wish everyone a happy Holy Week this week. I hope you, like me, are spending some time reflecting on what this week means, especially for those who call themselves Christians. If you're listening to this now, it's Thursday. Tomorrow will be Good Friday. And this weekend will be a busy weekend for the Katinas. But I want you guys to know that we're thankful, even in this busy season for us, that we have cousins and family and supporters and partners like you who were meditating this month and this week together on what does Holy Week mean to a Christian. And so I want to thank you guys and let you guys know that we're thinking of you this week. We're thinking of our verse of the month in Mark 8:31, and I'm encouraged as a follower of Christ to know that I have a community of people that we're all focused on the same thing at the same time. So I want to thank you guys for that. I want to welcome my dad, my Uncle Yetzi, my Uncle James to the show. Thank you guys for being here.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Josh.
We're kind of coming out of a slower season, moving into one of the busier times of the year for us as a ministry this Easter. But before we get to Easter, Good Friday comes first. And I thought it would be a good idea to start our podcast today. I just want to ask you guys, what does Good Friday mean to you? What will you guys be spending time thinking about tomorrow during Good Friday?
Well, first of all, thanks again, Josh. Love being a part of these podcasts. And, you know, just the even that those two words, Good Friday, when you really dive into the meaning and that part of our Christian faith, the history of our faith in Jesus, there wasn't really anything good about that moment in time. And just recently I saw a video of Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in the movie The Passion. And before this, it was kind of a round table. They asked him to pray the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic, and it was really powerful. Just and they talked about Good Friday and that particular scene, and I think you said a word to start off this podcast: reflection. Just for me, it's not only reflecting on who I am in Christ, and the fact that Jesus saved me and Jesus has redeemed me. In my time of reflection, that's really where the good comes. When I think about Good Friday, the visual of it, just the sadness and the pain and the suffering, and of course everything that Jesus went through, in my time of reflection, it points me to gratitude and to just a heart of gratefulness that the suffering of the Son of God, the suffering of Jesus, led to me and my family and my, you know, down the road, my legacy and my children and their children and their children having a hope that's eternal.
Mm-hmm. That's good, huh?
Yeah, you know, Josh, I think growing up, I don't remember really celebrating Good Friday. You know, I remember celebrating Palm Sunday, which was the Sunday before Easter, and then celebrating on Easter. But Good Friday in the life of a believer, and I mean, I think Easter, really Easter and Christmas are, those are the, they're kind of like the pinnacle of Christianity, sure. You know, where, and there are a lot of people who just come to church on Easter and Christmas, and some people refer to that demographic as Christers, you know, but I think that as ministers, man, it's like these are big weekends for us to really share the story of the gospel and of Jesus and how he gave his life. And he gave his life on Good Friday. It was good because that was the ultimate price that even we're living in the benefits of Jesus giving his life. We're living in, I mean, it's throughout the history of time. And so, but Good Friday is a sad Friday. And then it's where the world became dark because they thought that they could not only crucify Jesus, but keep him in the grave, you know. And so from Good Friday to the day that we call 3 days later, 3 days later, Jesus rose again. But between the time that Jesus gave his life and when he rose again, I think it was a very important part of humanity and what Jesus did.
So agreed. I think, as Yetzi said, growing up, and I don't think I'm much different than when I grew up. I feel like sometimes life is about, well, my interpretation of life is, let's get to the celebration. Let's just... I saw a bumper sticker, no bad days. I'm like, that's why we would want that, to live life, but that's not real life. That's not wholehearted living. Yesterday, Uncle James and I went to a funeral, and I told Mom, my intention was to go pay my respects to the people that I knew at the viewing and then leave. And then somehow I felt like, nah, you just stay here. And as I stayed there, it was a time of mourning, deep sadness. I told Mom and even uncles, there was something good for my soul to mourn with those that mourn, to grieve, to cry. I didn't know this lady well. I knew her sons. I thought that's why I was there. And I think as human beings who want to live in the fullness of life, Good Friday is a representation of some days in our lives that we have to learn, that I have to learn just to be there and sit. And not celebrate it, but just to remember and be in it, to live in the Good Friday. I know Easter's coming, but there's some things that can happen, I think, for my mind and my soul and my being to be sad and to grieve what Jesus did.
That's good. I when I think about Good Friday, I feel like in my life I've often been drawn towards the stories of the disciples, the record of the disciples during Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And so I went to a Christian school where we took Bible classes, and my college education was there. And there's a, probably only Christians would think this is funny, but there's a running joke in like the Bible schools or my Bible classes about the beef between John and Peter. I don't know if you guys know this, but like there's a story of when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter is known for hitting, cutting one of the guard's ears off. Well, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the record says one of the disciples struck
Malchus whatever his name was.
In the book of John, it says Peter did it. And there's also there's a funny joke I guess it's interesting in the book of John where they talk about the disciples running towards Jesus. Have you guys ever heard this?
No.
Is John and Peter were running. In the other books, it just says the disciples ran. In the book of John, it said John beat Peter in the race. Basically. It's funny.
The account.
But I also think Good Friday for John and Peter, their experiences were very different.
Yeah.
And both John and Peter ended up being pioneers of the Christian faith after Christ's death and resurrection. But I think, you know, I've often, when I was little, you know, Peter is depicted as the guy who denies Jesus, right? And my young mind was like, oh, Peter, what was Peter doing? That's weak, that's soft. And maybe that's true. But as I've gotten older, I feel like I see myself in Peter in a lot of ways. And to me, I guess I'm encouraged by what I know of Peter's life after the resurrection, that God could still use someone who denied him three times. Not just anybody, but Peter was Jesus's best friend, one of his best friends. And he denied Christ, but that was the rock that Christ built his church on. I don't know. I think, and then I think about John, who was there till the very end. He was, you know, Jesus, sorry if I get this wrong, but Jesus told him, brother, look at this woman. This is your mother. Take care of my mom. Yeah,
absolutely.
That was the conversation that John had with Jesus. And I'm curious to ask you guys, when you think of the disciples, you think of the people, his followers who were there on Good Friday. If you can see yourself there, how do you think, do you think you would have been a Peter or a John or somewhere in between?
That's good. That's good, Josh. You know, so Peter, he was a different cat, man. Just like he was, it seemed like he was very outgoing, you know, and he might have been a 7 on the Enneagram. Yeah. You know, he was real loud. He would say, "I'm not going to deny you, Jesus." And Jesus actually told him before. He goes, "No." Before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. And no, I won't. But like you said, you know, Peter, when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am? Who do men say that I am?" And they were all like, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're a prophet." And then he asked Peter, and Peter said, "You are the Son of God. You are the Son of, you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, who told you this? It was the Spirit of God that revealed this to you. And upon this rock will I build my church." So, and then I think about David too, when David committed adultery. You know, it was after that David repented. And it was after all of that that God said, "David is a heart after my own heart." And so I totally agree with you, Josh. I mean, Easter is a time for us to tell the world that we serve a God of second chances.
Yeah. Josh, I think that question I relate. I could see myself in Peter. I could see myself in John. If I'm being honest, I could see myself in Judas, you know, having this, sometimes being in relationship with Jesus just for what can I get? What can I get? And I think Judas, he sold Jesus out. I think it's a good time. I think the Holy Week is a good time for personal inventory of where am I at with Jesus right now? Am I Judas? Am I Peter? Am I John? Whoever I am, I know I need Jesus. So it's a good, I'm glad we're discussing Good Friday and Holy Week. And, you know, if anyone's listening that you're not a follower of Christ, I'm so glad you're listening and would just encourage you with this message that Jesus loves you. Jesus sees you. It doesn't matter where you're at on your journey. You believe him, you don't believe him. Just know that Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. So
good. I love when Mary and Martha went over to the tomb. And for all the listeners, man, if you go to the Gospels, you can read the account of Matthew, the account of Mark, Luke, and John. But in the Gospels, you'll read all these stories. But when Jesus wasn't in the tomb, and Mary and Martha, they were looking for him, and all of a sudden, they encountered him. He was standing there, and they said, "Jesus." They looked at his hands and they saw the scars, the nail, the scars in his palms, and he said, "Hey, go tell all my, go tell everybody to gather. I have something to tell them. Tell all the disciples." And he said, "And Peter too," mm-hmm. You know, because he knew that Peter was dealing with a lot of condemnation. Peter was just thinking, "Man, I denied him just like he said that I was going to deny him. I'm not worthy to be counted as one of his disciples." And Jesus said, "No, tell Peter to come too." You know, that's a so moving part.
I was listening to a podcast earlier this week. It was Lecrae's podcast, and he had a guest, Jackie Hill Perry, on his show. And they were talking. Jackie Hill Perry said something that really impacted me about Good Friday and Easter, and she asked the question, she said, this is a question she asks herself a lot, is the grave empty or is it not? And as Christians, our declaration is that the grave is empty. And so if we really believe that, what does that mean for our lives? What does it mean that the grave is empty? How should that impact the way we live? And what she was saying was that this season, when she's reminded of her belief that the grave is empty, it's a time for her to remember to take her faith seriously. Because if the grave is empty, that means everything to us. That means that this is real and this is something that we should take seriously. And so I think maybe 2 years ago, Dad, you and I did an Easter podcast, and I asked you this question. And I want to ask it to all of you guys today. Seeing that we believe that the grave is empty, why does Jesus matter? Why should our listeners, why should we take Jesus seriously? Why do we need Jesus?
Wow, that's a great question, Josh. Why is Jesus important and why does he matter to me? I'll go back to really one of the darkest times of my life when I went through a divorce. And it was a pivotal moment because I was in a bad way. Anything that you can imagine as far as the state of my being, just my mindset, discouragement is almost an understatement. I just remember, and I share this with people who are going through a similar situation, that Jesus just really started impressing on my heart to see myself through the way he sees me, through it's the lens, because humanity and in my humanness, when I am honest with myself, I don't love what I see. And I know that in that season in my life, that's all I could focus on. It was almost hard to even turn that mindset off. So just became so discouraged. And it wasn't until I was getting counsel, surrounding myself with people that would start lifting me up and encouraging me. But really, the breakthrough for me and the healing that started happening in me was when I just started seeing myself through the loving eyes of a father. That no matter, clearly, the sin that I've committed, the wrong that I've done, the hurt that I've caused to the people that I love, and then the hurt that I've caused to myself, the only way to heal from that and the only way out of that was to just spiritually, mentally, psychologically see myself through the loving eyes of Jesus. Mm. And so you ask that question, why is Jesus important? And what does it even mean to be saved? Mm. That's what it means. Because apart from Jesus, life really does just become temporary. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to try to fix it. And when you go through situations, there's you're going to remedy it with whatever you can find. Jesus, when I see, and even now, fast forward 20 plus years later, that's the hope that I have, that I am still flawed. I still am on the road, this journey of life, you know, all of my pursuits and goals and being the, as they say, the best version of myself, that's all fine and good. But at the end of the day, I need Jesus.
It's really good, James. And I love how you answered that just by going to your personal experience. Because in a way, I feel like that's all we all have is our personal experience. Why does Jesus matter to me? And when you ask that question, Josh, I think of maybe five or six highlights in my life where it was just undeniable that was Jesus that did that. There are big moments in my life, but I'd rather answer it by just talking about the journey. The journey with Christ is filled with those six, seven moments that it's like when that huge moment happened, it gave me what I needed to get through the next season. But really, it's throughout the journey, man. Jesus just as I allow him to, you know, and as I get to know him, and as I want to hear his voice more than I'm hearing the voices from social media or from society, or I can't at this point of my life, I can't picture my life without him. Whenever I need hope for a situation, and it seems like those situations happen on the daily, man. And it's like I need his voice, because his voice always tells me go left, go right, move, stop, you know, if I listen, if I'm in tune, and that's where the peace is.
Man, I agree with the uncles, Josh. It's what Jesus has done in my personal life. And I think that's all we're responsible for, is to speak for ourselves. Why do I believe in Jesus? Whew. Not enough time to explain everything. However, I will say this, and this is not a dramatic statement, but for the love and grace of Jesus, I would not be alive right now. I wouldn't be in my right mind. I wouldn't have the hope that I have. I wouldn't, you know, I was thinking as uncles were answering, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And being at that funeral yesterday reminded me. In fact, I left and I called a friend. I said, man, being at a funeral, you know, because we're all going to die someday. We all know that. I think it puts things in perspective of what's important. And again, being at that funeral, Nobody, it did not matter in that crowd who, how much money you have, what you own, who you are, your status, your influence. No, you, the center of attention was that casket, and we're all going there someday. And so I left thinking, what does matter? It's faith and family. And who's the author of my faith? It's Jesus. Who gave me the family that I have? Jesus. Some of the there's some strengths in that family. There's some weaknesses in that family because I'm in it. And Jesus, again, gives me the hope that I need just to make it today.
Thank you, guys. I want to, we have a little bit more time. I want to finish, if you guys will, by, I'd love for you guys to reminisce on Holy Week, Good Friday, Easter Sunday in the Katina household when you guys were young. What were your early Holy Week Easter memories? What did it look like for you guys?
One comes to my mind right away, okay? So, Joe and James, you probably remember this. Mom and Dad always bought us new clothes to wear for Easter. And one time, they got us these suits. I think yours might have been like light blue or something.
Green. Yes, yep. Light I remember.
And Dave's was light blue.
Yeah.
Mine was like a light brown color. And I'm guessing
polyester at its finest. Yeah. I can feel it right now. You could kind of stretch it too.
But you know, right after church that day, man, I ran outside. I was playing with my friends like we always do because Mom and Dad were, you know, they're like on staff of the church, so they're always mingling with people. And man, I was, my friend was chasing me, and I fell. And man, the knee, you know, I hit it, and there was like a little hole right there in my brand new polyester light brown suit. Dang. And I was just, man, I was so scared. I was traumatized, like, oh man. So I ran in the car early. I didn't want Mom and Dad to see me, but you know, Mom ended up seeing me when we got home, and she was upset. But I don't remember, you know, getting punished for it. But but she put a little patch on the inside of it. We had these patches that you iron on, these iron-on patches. That's a memory that I have. But yeah, Easter was always big. Easter egg hunts. At the church with all the kids and stuff. That's my memory, man.
I remember there was a few years where Mom and Dad got us baskets. Yeah. A few years. Then when we went to Samoa, it all went downhill. But I remember Easter egg hunts and our Easter eggs. I think, you know, the plastic eggs that you get and fill with candy. I didn't know that was a thing until we moved back to America. So we would
had the real eggs.
Yeah, we would literally boil real eggs.
Oh wow!
And that was the big thing. Yeah. And then we'd all color them. Oh, that was so fun.
The color dye,
which I think, man, I think kids miss out on that, right? Because all kids do now. It's such a picture of our culture. Just give me some candy, fill it in.
That takes too long. Yeah.
And give me a basket. Yeah. So, anyways, back the whole. Are we going to color eggs? I think we would think about that the whole week until we finally did, and then we'd hide them. And in our Easter egg hunts, Mom and Dad, with our church, there was always like two old golden eggs where we would dye the eggs. It was more of a light brown, but it was golden egg.
Nah.
And if you found the golden egg, you get like a prize or something.
But I did. I wanted to. So, 20 plus years ago when we were all starting to get married, young families, and you and it would have been you, Caitlin, and Jackson, Callie, Court, Eli, Dylan, when you guys were little, and shout out to your moms and all the aunties, they did a great job in that time, because there was only a handful of kids. We would, if we were home, Easter was just a great, beautiful tradition that was planned out. And I see that pictures are popping up even this week of those 10, 15 years ago. And I, you know, there's something to be said about traditions, right? Mm-hmm. Some people want to do away with traditions. There are some traditions that I'm like, it doesn't really impact me. But I think overall, those kinds of traditions where it brings family together, mm-hmm. I think is what is actually missing in society today. Just the idea of, whether you believe in the Easter Bunny or not, it's not about that, but it's the fact that families and loved ones are coming together. And I would imagine, and maybe it's the question for you as a kid, you living out those moments, what that did to you. But I think just as a parent, even now, it's heartbreaking to see that this younger generation is they're not getting exposed to much of that anymore.
In fact, James, I remember, I don't know if it was once or maybe more than once, because Easter is a big Sunday for, obviously, for what we do. Churches love to, bring special guests, and thank God for World Outreach in Murfreesboro, where we'll be this weekend. This was, I think, our third or fourth Easter in a row being here, and I love it. But I remember a couple times actually having an Easter egg hunt on a Monday or Tuesday when we'd get back, and then we'd be because we'd be gone. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I remember, to be honest, most of my Easter memories are my dad and uncles were not there. I remember Easters because it was not normal. Like, we got together as an extended family often. Easter was always the time where none of the dads were there. It was just the aunties and my mom who made those Easters special for me and my cousins and my brother. And I have memories of, to be honest, I don't remember like the Monday Easter eggs. Okay. I remember many times Easter Sundays we would go to church with my cousins, would all be there, all my aunties, and then we would go to a park together. There was usually food, and the aunties always made it special for us and mom. And so, mom, aunties, thank you guys for making that, giving me those memories.
I think it's awesome. In fact, this year, and maybe this is not the first year, but I think Auntie Kathy and Court actually made a flyer for our family gathering. Yeah. And, I think it's good to remember that, man, those are special. Not every family has that. And if your family doesn't have it, I want to encourage you that just start with where you're at. Start with what you have. I wonder if when you guys were kids, I don't know if Auntie and Mom ever thought, okay, this is what we're going to do forever. But you're 27 now, and we're getting together on Easter, whoever can make it. And now, man, I'm excited. Josiah, this will be his first Easter egg hunt, and he'll get to be with the fam. So it's beautiful.
It'll be fun. Josh, I just had one other thought, I think, about how, the churches are going to be packed on Holy Weekend and on Easter. And why is that? I feel like there's a lot of moms and even family members that, for whatever reason, those family members that are not in church and in fellowship, they're more open to it when the mom says, it's Easter, come on, it's Easter or it's Christmas, and so they're coming. But I imagine there's so many people that don't darken the doors of our churches because they feel unworthy, or they feel, they feel like, and I'm too far gone, but I just think about the fact that the grave was empty, the tomb was empty, Jesus was not there. And if you can just picture anything wrong, any mistakes that you have ever done, just picture what Jesus did. It just gave you a new slate, a brand new start. And so Easter is a time for us to tell the world that you are welcome. You are welcome. I love the name of our podcast, Welcome Home. And man, I sent you guys a the news that Sandra Crouch passed away. You know, Sandra, a hero of ours, the twin sister of Andre Crouch. And I remember Andre, man, he wrote so many songs about the blood and about the grave and about salvation. And then coming home, he wrote tons of songs. Yeah. Come home, mm-hmm. Come home. You don't have to be out there on your own. You're not too far gone. Mm-hmm. The forgiveness, the blood of Jesus can even cover your sins. And so this is a weekend that I hope all of you know that you are welcome, regardless of what your past is, regardless of what your story is. What Jesus did at the cross, his blood is sufficient for all sin.
That's great. I think that's a great place to end. Thank you guys for being here, and happy Easter to you guys, and excited to be in Murfreesboro this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Love you guys.
We love you.
Love you.
To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.